good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon. How are you, Dan?
I'm good.
Thank
I'm
you.
Good. Mike, today is October 20th, 2021.
Yes.
And we are here at the Gateway Center in Metro Atlanta.
Yes.
My name is Daniel Enger, and I have the pleasure of being here today with you, Mike. I appreciate very much you taking time today. And I'm looking forward to hearing your story and to learning from you.
Thank you.
It's for me to say thank you. Mike, my first question for you is a really big one, namely, please tell the story of your life from the time you were a small child up to the present day, and please start by saying your name.
Okay. My name is Mike. I grew up in New York City, born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens. I'm the oldest of four children. I was the first grandchild, and I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I enjoyed free speech, and I was very, very vocal individual. I think I didn't follow school all that much because I thought rock and roll, girls and sports were more important than studying. When I became about 12 years old, I started noticing that I had an undercurrent of depression. It was right below the surface, and I didn't know what was going on, how to deal with it. And I guess it distracted me a lot from my schoolwork, but it's made me a stronger person now. I think I was rebellious growing up. I just always wanted to be a very vocal person, and I expressed myself in many different ways, not always the best way. I alienated a lot of friends, a lot of people, and I became a loner. I dealt with depression a lot in my life. I came down to Georgia for a new start, to start over again, to begin again, just to find if there was a better way for me to be alive and experience things in life. So when it was quite a different change coming to Georgia, but it was a good change. I think I knew that what didn't work for me in New York wouldn't work for me in Atlanta. So I guess I got more reflective, and I started trying to find out about me, you know, who I am, what's really going on, what makes me angry, what makes me cry, what makes me happy. I was admitted to a hospital down here at Emory Hospital, psychiatric evaluation, but it was necessary. You know, it was difficult but necessary. And I began to find out more about myself and how I related to people and how people responded to me. I think I began to understand God. I began to understand nature. And I know I'm very fortunate to be here as we speak now. I mean, I'm 64 years old and I feel like I'm 35. There's a lot to live for, and there's a lot to do that we can manage a way to help each other, understand each other more. And I think the thing that is most important about people is it's what you say, how you say it, but then also everyone hears differently. Everyone takes in information differently. So you got to be careful what you say and how you say it. And then try to understand that each individual doesn't hear every word you say the same way. And that's what makes us all different. You know, I know we live in a capitalistic society, and a lot of people who are homeless don't ever get a chance to taste what capitalism can bring to your life. And I think what is unique about being human is the fact that we all need to start listening to each other, not because of what we're supposed to say to each other, but what we really want to know about each other and how we say it. Because like I said, everyone hears what you have to say very differently. We all take things in our own way. And perception is part of the problem and it's part of the answer. So, like, I'm here with the study today, and I know, Dan, you have your questions and policies and procedures, but the most important thing is, I can see you're listening to me, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because that's the beginning. It's not about money, it's about listening and hearing the person. You know, some people have money, and they're homeless. I don't, you know, and that's their story. But I guess the thing I'm trying to say is just begin to listen. Don't make homelessness part of the capitalistic system or society, because that's what the healthcare system is all about, making money out of making people better. Don't do that with someone who is homeless. Just take them for who they are. Listen to them and begin to understand. I mean, you know, we're not a product, we're people.
Mike, of all the things you've accomplished or overcome in your life so far, what are you most proud of?
I'm most proud of the person I've become as a man. Like I said, I used to be very devious and very self-centered. It was all about me. And self-gratification, it's not like that anymore. I've come to accept me as I am, and I come to appreciate the life that happens and goes on around me. At the same time, it's very painful to be where I am, but it's a good thing that I'm still here and functioning and being able to do pretty much anything I want to do. God gave us free will, you know. It's how we use it and what we do with it to help each other. I guess that's, I'm here to inspire. I'm here to give others hope, because what people see in me, they say, wow, look at Mike. He's battled, he's overcome obstacles, and he's still going. He's still going. Even though it's difficult, he's here, and he's still going. And that's what I'm most proud of. God has allowed me to suffer. God has allowed me to celebrate. But it's all for a cause, and it's in his plan, and he just hasn't revealed any of it to me. And if I did, I better mess it up. I'd mess up the whole thing. So, you know, I'm grateful.
Mike, you've gained a lot of hard-fought wisdom from experiences in your life so far. If you were invited to share your wisdom with school kids in your community, giving them guidance to live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives, what would you tell them?
Enjoy your youth, enjoy the moment. Because take your time, just be brief, be free spirit, be who you are, because things will come to you in time. Don't be in a hurry, just be who you are.
Mike, I'd like to turn to today, please, to the present time. Mike, in what ways would you say that your life is going well these days? Please talk a little bit about how life is good for you at the present time.
Life is good because I get a chance to slow down, stop, and look at myself and realize what I have. And I have my health, I have people who care about me, and life goes on. I'm fortunate that I'm here, because I should be dead 10 times over by now. And for some reason, God has kept me alive. He isn't finished with me yet, and there's still things that I can do. And my whole thing is reaching people. I get such gratitude out of relating to people that it's just part of a better world. I make a difference. I make life better because I believe in things that have to be better. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. I know what I want out of life, and now I get the time to reflect and look at me and say, "What? How am I going to get it?"
Mike, how did that happen? What led to those things going well for you? How did that happen? Who or what has contributed most to your doing well these days?
Other people who have been where I've been and who are able to say, "Mike, no matter how tough it is, it's going to be all right." We live in a capitalistic society where everybody's out for themselves, and the amount of things that you accumulate make you who you are. That's not what being human's about. And I know you know that. It's about brotherhood. It's about being with each other. It's about community. And we need to find out who we are and what we're about.
Now, Mike, looking ahead, when it comes to living a healthy, safe, stable, and happy life, what are your hopes and dreams looking ahead?
Just to enjoy life, you know? I mean, you're not promised tomorrow, so live for today. Just enjoy the moment, be who you are, and enjoy who you're with.
Mike, as you pursue those hopes and dreams, what are some of the personal strengths you draw on?
My own self-image, my own ability to relate to people, to voice my opinion, to be who I am, just to be able to look back and say, "Hey, I've seen a lot of stuff that is not very pleasant, but you know what? I'm okay right now, and it's probably made me stronger, and I'm probably a better person for it. So I'm going to just go on and be who I am and let things happen as they do."
What challenges and obstacles do you see standing between you and the realization of your hopes and dreams? Today, what holds you back?
Me. It's what I want to do and how far I want to go. It's up to me. Free will.
Mike, what needs to be done so that those challenges and obstacles can be overcome so that you can realize your personal hopes and dreams?
I need to be able to communicate what I feel, what I'm going through, and I need the powers to be open and willing to hear it and listen. You know, I think, you know, like I said, we live in a capitalistic society, and it's all about what we own, what we have in our wallets. It's about us. It's about people. It's about others. And that's just not talked about enough.
Mike, allow me please now to shift to the community.
Okay.
How would you describe your community today? Who are the people who make up your community?
The people in my community are people who have suffered, have disabilities in many different ways, but who find the strength and courage to live every day to the best way they can.
When it comes to living a healthy, safe, stable, and happy life, how would you describe the hopes and dreams of people in your community?
Just listening and talking to each other, having the idea that you are somebody, having enough courage to believe in yourself that there are better days ahead, and don't let the things that are right in front of you stop you from doing anything in this life.
In your community, what are some of the strengths that people draw on as they strive to realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives?
I think a lot of it is about what we draw in common. We all got here in different ways, but we're all here to find a better life. And, you know, what we do is we discuss our differences and the things we have in common, and we find mutual ground, and we exist, and we learn to be with one another as who we are.
Once again, for your community, what are the challenges and obstacles that make it harder for people in your community to realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives? In your community, what holds people back?
Probably not enough resources. There needs to be more focus on what is going on with people, and people need not to feel like they don't count. People need to be heard and listened to. We do it with each other, but other people need to hear it too. Other people need to take the time to understand, hear us, and appreciate what we go through.
To a certain extent, you just answered this next question partially. What needs to be done so that the challenges and obstacles can be overcome that hold people back from people in your community from realizing their hopes and dreams and living healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives?
For me, it's all about listening and hearing the person. Just under, like you're doing, you're asking me questions, and I'm trying to be open about it. You know, that's the beginning. It's not about, you know, I can get you a job, I can get you housing, but you got to take this step, that step, and A, B, C, in order to do that, to get there. See, that's the system. Start listening to people and hearing what they're saying. Just take people for who they are. Just hear us. Just listen.
Mike, imagine that you're a powerful leader. You're a decision maker who can really make things happen. How would you change the system to help people in your community realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives?
Just make people understand it's not about money. Because like I said, what we do is we define each other by things. Just recognize the person for who they are. And it help them along just by being there. Everything is about what we own, what we have. You know, oh, I have a Lamborghini, I have a house. You know, I have a house on a hill in, Stone Mountain, Sandy Springs. Well, you know, wow, look at me. Look at all I'm doing. But have you looked at the person's heart? They might be as hollow as anything. You have, you know, you have to understand it's not about things, it's about people.
And finally, Mike, imagine you had $1 million. And you could spend it to help your community realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives. How exactly would you spend $1 million?
First, I do a survey and ask people what they want. Find out what's going on, who they need to talk to, and how I can provide services that they need. I don't know. That's a great question. That's a great question. But you just have to find the need. Find it.